Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a shorthanded breakaway for Evander Kane. Kane, and they score! Evander Kane, a shorthanded goal, and the Sharks take a 2-0 lead.
NBC Sports Bay Area. Evander Kane, shorthanded goal before he eavesdropped on a Penguins. How do you want to call it? A Penguins coaching session?
Huddle?
Huddle. Yeah, I like that.
You can use huddle across like huddle. Multiple sports.
And then he started a fight, and the Penguins got shut out 4-0. And we've got a ton to talk about today. Kevin Colbert reacts to the kid comment that's gotten a lot of run. James Harrison is blowing up the Steelers again. John Clayton joins us at 4. And Robert Kraft. And that's What's on Tap, brought to you by Fatheads Brewery, before Chris takes 2 weeks for daddy time with little Lennox. But before that, he is going to represent Fatheads at the Beer Fest.
Tonight and tomorrow, I'll be, I actually have like a vendor tag. I'll be slinging beers 7 to 9 both nights. Wow. At Beer Fest. It's fun. Are you going to Beer Fest or not?
I think I might.
All right.
I think I might.
This is a good thing. You know what is funny? The least surprising thing that happened today that is in our show plan is James Harrison doing on what would be another day be like 5 o'clock lead material, tearing into Tomlin and Colbert again and sounding off. And then you have Robert Kraft. You have Colbert. Didn't you think it was odd that he was right back on the dish nationally? I don't know if maybe that was his schedule, but that was interesting. And then
the Penguins.
Well, you know, we were at the casino last night for the Eat, Drink, Pittsburgh event, which was great. The easy bake thing that Pony and I were supposed to do, it devolved a little bit. But we had a buddy down there. Yeah, thank you.
We watched what we needed to see with this game, and that was the first 3-0. Period. And then the next two periods, you might as well have.
Well, our guy that bet the under in the game, 6.5 goals, got what he needed.
Phil was his name.
Nick was his name. Nick was his name. He made a big impression on you.
I got Phil's on the brain right now.
Well, they got their asses kicked.
They did.
On the scoreboard, and I think it's ridiculous that guys like Michael Haley still have jobs in the NHL or draw an NHL paycheck, but then they got physically kind of manhandled and trolled a little bit by a team that's way ahead of them, not in their conference, obviously, but has more points than them on the season and was just better than them.
Is Phil Kessel still a sacred cow?
You know that this is tough for me because I've been a big, big Kessel backer since the trade was made.
You bought your wife a Kessel jersey.
Well, that was like the wedding day present because she loves watching the Penguins.
Yep.
Everyone enjoyed Phil Kessel.
That was her guy.
And
is it
you know
still
what?
Her guy?
And you know what? 2 Stanley Cups later, and one of them he probably should have won the Conn Smythe trophy. I would have voted for him. It's been a pretty good run here for Phil Kessel.
Okay.
But 21 goals and 62 points later. Still his usual point-of-game pace, but a guy that has not scored goals lately, and everybody knows it. The bloom is coming off the rose a little bit for this reason. It's all situation-dependent. The Penguins need a spark. I know they had 1-4-5 coming in, but they just look sort of like the same hockey team. And if you were going to do something seismic, that would be it. I don't know if they can get anywhere near commensurate value in return. He hasn't scored a goal since January.
Games. 11 games with that one. Wait, so you, Phil Kessel fan, Phil Kessel loyalist, Phil Kessel lover, you are saying that you would endorse or approve a Kessel trade?
I would not turn down offers. I would not just say this man is off the table. So there can be there's some gray area here.
Yeah, but not with most Penguins fans.
Well, he's either get him out or keep him here.
No, I think with most Penguins fans, he is quit picking on Phil still. Shut up about Phil. Rip Jack Johnson. Talk about Dominic Simone moving up to the first line when Brian Rust leaves the game temporarily last night. Why don't you guys spend your time talking about Casey DeSmith playing over Matt Murray? The power play, although Kessel, you know, botched that with his giveaway at the blue line.
Phil Kessel has 3 even strength goals in 2019.
Okay.
That's what he has.
But you know that, I don't know how the genesis of the whole thing, probably because Pittsburgh wanted to wrap its arms around a guy that they felt was unfairly, maliciously treated by the old guard Toronto hockey media, and those people, screw them, they're dinosaurs, they were hard on him. We're going to worship this guy. He looks like us. He acts like us. He likes hot dogs. He likes poker, those kinds of things. He likes Coca-Cola. He doesn't drink, you know, Fiji water.
And I like
nonstop.
RC Cola since he's on the Penguins, okay. Yes.
He is an everyman who can score and has won two Stanley Cups. Mm-hmm. But is it not time to admit that it's no longer working? Relationships run their course the same way Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown, who put up some dazzling numbers together, the same way that reached a point where it was no longer going to bear fruit. It wasn't going to be a productive relationship anymore. I think you can look at Kessel the same way. The Penguins win championships when they make bold moves. They've never been an organization that tinkers and wins. Don't confuse what Jim Rutherford, don't confuse activity, making a lot of small trades. It doesn't add up to something big. There's been a lot of turnover on this team. But really, other than Carl Hagelin, who was in the last year of his contract, have the Penguins really moved on from a core player? Have they made...
They had to, though.
They had to.
But other than a guy that they absolutely had to...
Did Jim Rutherford say, it pains me to do this, but I'm trading this guy because it's in the best interest of us long-term, or I'm firing this person because it's gonna change things up and it might shock us into reality? They haven't done anything close to that.
Crosby's still here, Malkin's still here, Kessel's still here, Letang's still here, Murray's still here. There's your core five.
When they win Stanley Cups, like, let's take even our era of Penguins hockey, the Crosby era. First cup they go to, they trade for Hossa. Second cup they go to, they fire Therrien.
Trade for Guerin, which ended up being a huge deal.
Next cup they go to, they trade for Kessel, and they trade away James Neal, and they fire Mike Johnston.
Only the following season can you say they didn't really do anything massive. The massive, unexpected maybe thing was Fleury taking over when he did, and them riding him through most of the early part of the playoffs until Matt Murray got right again physically.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be the only one where I wouldn't point out like a gigantic seismic maneuver.
Okay, now I'm going to go back deeper into Penguins history, though.
Well, everybody knows this. 91 and 9, there were humongous trades that defined both of the first two cups in franchise history.
Yep.
Massive ones.
Paul Coffey and then the Rick Tocchet deal. So what you have is things with the Penguins come in pairs, right?
Mm-hmm.
They won back-to-back Stanley Cups. They went to back-to-back Stanley Cups. And then they won back-to-back Stanley Cups again. They just got knocked out in the second round last year. It looks like, unless things change, they're going to get knocked out in the first or second round again. This does not look like a team that is going to go out and win 12 games or close to 16 games in the playoffs. So what do you do? Like, you have to, I believe you have to do something seismic, or you can kind of punt on this season.
What would you do? What would you want in return for Phil Kessel right now? What's the trade? Because I know I'm not putting you on the spot to ask you this, because I know you're not bringing this up without having a trade in mind and a player you're getting back. There's no way you're just cherry picking with me here and spitballing, just trade him and whatever. There has to be a guy out there in mind that you have.
I would trade him to Arizona for their first-round pick and something else.
Well, then you're punting on the season.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'd rather punt on the season with Phil Kessel in the lineup and on the roster, and then trade him in the offseason. I don't care if the return is less.
Okay. So you are at least, though, you're saying table it, but you're not...
Oh, I'm saying table it till the offseason,
then
probably trade him.
But you're not adamantly... I'm talking more to the large contingent of Penguins fans who hear Kessel trade, and it's like nails on a chalkboard for them.
I would hope that those people are done.
Chris, that's got to change soon.
It has to change now. I mean, last year was his career year, really, overall. And you can part ways knowing after this year, at worst, you got two cups in 4 years
and,
out of him.
And look, man, the fans who, when he was struggling last, and he actually had a really good year last year.
A great year.
But he tailed off late. Those people said, well, when the playoffs get here, he'll be fantastic. He wasn't. He scored one goal in 12 games. So to me, the idea that he's sandbagging right now and holding something back for the playoffs, I categorically disagree with that. Do you think he's really just going through the motions now? Why would he do that? To keep an Iron Man streak going? To just keep himself in the lineup? He's embarrassing himself with the way he's playing. If he's not scoring goals, what use is he to you? What does he do? Other than generate offense, if he's not producing points, of what value is Phil Kessel? Well, I guess in the room, he like makes everybody laugh because he's a happy-go-lucky fatso. I don't know.
He's a playmaker when he's going right. This is the key. He's a playmaker when he is a threat to shoot because that opens up avenues for him to make nice passes and set people up for easy goal looks, basically. But when he's not shooting, he becomes far less effective there. What I reject out of what you're saying ultimately here is, because I don't know what your return is in the offseason versus right now. What does Arizona need your first round? You know what I mean?
Hey,
what do they need Phil Kessel for? I know they're close. I know in that whole Western Conference,
because they need offense.
Everybody's
in it. And
they
got the right coach.
I don't think they're desperate enough.
Why not? They got nobody going to their games. Why not? You might as well if you're them.
That feels like a bit of spackle for them. I'd rather try to go out on my shield this season with the guy and see if maybe he gets it going.
Okay.
Happens to get it going at the right time. I'm not trading him right now. But yeah, I think it's safe to say after four seasons, it's run its course.
I just gave you a deal. And I don't know. Maybe like because he's such a big salary, and because there's still 3 years left on the contract, maybe the intensity of the deadline could net you a pretty good pick and a player back as opposed to the offseason where it's more of a salary dump. You asked me to give you a team, so I gave you one. The problem with the question, though, is we don't know what teams he can be traded to. He's got an 8-team trade list. That's it. 8. We don't know who's on that list.
That's why you keep him for the rest of the season, as much as we can all maybe admit that the relationship is running its course.
But
see
I would
if
try
you get
to trade
final
him.
Spark.
I would try
Do you
to trade
Jim
him
Rutherford
in the next
is?
Few days. Probably not. No, because
is their team better? Is their goal? Hold on. Stop. Should the Penguins' goal this season still be to find a way to try to win a Stanley Cup?
Yes.
Are they a better team with or without Phil Kessel on the roster? And don't tell me they're going to get somebody back who's comparable to him.
No, they're not.
So they're a worse team towards achieving their stated goal of winning a Stanley Cup under your proposal.
Under my proposal, I am admitting that as constructed, this team cannot win the Stanley Cup.
I don't know if you say cannot, especially in the NHL, where you have been on the record as saying anything can happen in their crapshoot playoffs. When you go, how much of the
did
how
we
much
not
of it
just
crapshoot?
Spend the last few minutes talking about that they need to do something seismic to win a Stanley Cup? You just agreed with that. So what's the seismic
move?
They have
done things seismic in the past. They did it in 2017 without.
Yeah, and I said it's because they were coming off a Stanley Cup run, and things tend to come in pairs with them.
Tend to come in pairs is not a good enough argument.
They won the this team went out in the second round last year and struggled to make the playoffs.
Are you a death comes in threes guy too?
Chris, then I guess you are. I guess you're still Phil's the sacred cow guy in the end.
He's not a sacred cow, but I said my piece here, and it's this. If the goal for them should be to try to win a Stanley Cup this year, their chances are very obviously better. However, like slight they might be, their chances of it are better with Kessel in the lineup. That is pretty much inarguable at this point. So if you think they have a 10% chance to win it,
I'll give you a complete fantasy trade.
Okay.
If the Coyotes said, we'll trade you Ekman-Larsson for Kessel straight up, would you make that trade?
Yep. Okay. You know why?
There you go.
Because they'd become a better team.
There you go. Okay, so he's not a sacred cow is my point.
When did I say he was?
There are a lot of fans who feel that way. That is
not
a straw man point. Well, you used to be. You said you used to be that guy. How pissed would you get at Cook when he would write column? They need to think about trading Kessel. You used to be that guy.
I know, and I'm. And
you're no longer that man.
And when Ron would write that column, I thought I would always say to myself, it's way too early to write this. It's an unfair column to write.
Is it a fair column now?
It's much more fair than it ever has been.
Is it fair now?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You presented a trade that makes them a better hockey team this year. Why would I turn that down?
Thank you, Chris. Because there are other fans that say trading Kessel is anathema.
There are fans of this team that are Johnny-come-latelys that just got on board when Crosby got here who have no idea what they're talking about.
Those are not the only fans who act like Kessel's hockey royalty. The people that have come around in the last 5 minutes. It's not just like young guys in their 20s who think it's funny that he looks like he eats hot dogs and plays golf all day. Those are not the only people who think...
Well, it's the people that value goals above all else in the NHL. Like, that's such a precious commodity. And until this year, until he went, he's gone, you know, what, 10 goals before Thanksgiving, 11 since Thanksgiving, that was actually a valid thing to say about him. He was a threat. He's not right now.
Is it time to trade Phil Kessel? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. That's the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line reminding you to text responsibly. Bob Grove in a half hour. It's the PM team.
Mike, can you describe best you can what happened there at the end?
No.
Or what led to your ejection?
No.
93.7 The Fan time is 2:30. It's brought to you by the all-new Ken Ganley Toyota. Drive a new Toyota with real zero down. Mike Sullivan giving Jeff one-word answers after the game last night.
What do you think Sullivan... Well... I don't want to say it like this because I think he's a hockey man first, not like some fake tough guy. But what do you think on some level bothered him more, losing the way he did or his team getting punked physically at the end of the game like that?
Losing the way that they did.
You think on some level, though, the getting punked part of it? I'm not saying Sullivan's an enforcer guy, but just like the semi-listlessness of the whole thing, I think that bugs him too because he needs to see signs that his team is basically out there trying to behead Michael Haley and Evander Kane. Pearson fought it.
That's
whatever,
a game that should
still
drive Sullivan irate. Absolutely irate.
Well,
everybody
goal
is
again
on their way to their seats, and Jack Johnson takes a penalty right out of the box.
No.
Sharks goal right after Rutherford went to bat for him. And frankly, you know what? Sullivan here, you know, we're getting some texts on this because no one wants to blame Phil, which is no one wants to say that Kessel needs to do more or just wait. It's not the playoffs. Kessel has 2 Stanley Cups. How many of you and Chris won? You know, that kind of stuff.
I've won 5, actually.
How many have you been a season ticket holder for?
2.
2.
Okay. Yeah, half season ticket holder for 2 Stanley Cups, folks. So listen to what I say.
Back off. No one wants to blame Phil, but it seems like people are ready to blame the 2-time Stanley Cup winning coach for some of the moves he's made. Simone over Bluger.
I actually would support that because I think Bluger might already be a better hockey player. Like, I can't bear the thought of Dominic Simone being so... He's the opposite. Whatever the opposite of being in a coach's doghouse is, that's what he is. He's in the penthouse.
He's a teacher's pet.
Yeah, and I hate that because I think Mike Sullivan doesn't always... Like, Dan Bylsma had teacher's pets. Joe Vitale was one of them. He didn't belong on the ice.
Brian Gibbons.
Yes, it was all the same. And teacher's
Craig
pets
Adams.
In hockey...
Who never got scratched.
Harvard man. Well, Craig Adams would have you believe he was the teacher, not the teacher's pet. But it's always the same kind of player, isn't it? They're cut from a similar cloth. A guy who maybe isn't great in terms of fine point skill, but is fast or is tenacious and usually undersized and plays the game a certain way, which is code for coaches love it because he tries hard. That's what those guys all are.
But doesn't Bluger?
Yeah, but Bluger, I don't know, in a very short period of time showed me more like actual skill, finishing a couple of the plays he got a chance to
Bluger's
finish.
Bluger's problem is that he wasn't drafted by Rutherford and he wasn't coached by Sullivan in the minor league, so he might as well not exist to those guys. And if Simone, for every goal Simone scores, Bluger almost has to score like 4 or 5 to keep himself in the lineup over
That's
him.
So there is some validity to criticizing Sullivan, but...
How much does he deserve for Jack Johnson? He continues to play him. He's icing the player. He's sending him over the boards. You know he's got the authority to scratch guys.
Well, didn't Jason Mackey say that when we pressed him on this that Sullivan also is happy with
yes.
Jack Johnson? So the guy that signed Jack Johnson, the guy that coaches Jack Johnson, and also Jack Johnson are happy about Jack Johnson's play, with Mackey going so far yesterday to say as Johnson is oblivious to a lot of the criticism of him, that is scary. If you're, because the one thing I think about Mike Sullivan for all his foibles like that any coach has, playing his favorites, I think he can smell BS when it's in front of him. And I don't think he's shy about maybe pushing back a little bit or getting into a little bit of a war with Jim Rutherford. That's how the Sprong thing went down. You know what it is about Jack Johnson? He's a veteran. He's a guy who's been around. There's a Sid's friend quotient here.
Well, hold on a second. Maybe we're also getting into something else. What do Jack Johnson and Dominic Simone have in common? They both seem to be Sidney Crosby favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Sid worked out with Simone in the offseason.
I mean, we could go back to Jerome McGinley coming here and Sid being really the reason to some degree that that was never going to work out. Not because he didn't like them, but because he didn't think they would mesh well playing together. Or it just wasn't like a nice balance.
But
yeah.
Even if Sid's close to that guy, like the coach needs, he had the gumption to bench Ian Cole and put him up in the press box, even though there weren't six defensemen better than Ian Cole.
For strictly personal reasons. He didn't like that he talked too much.
Right.
Yeah, he should be finding a way to get somebody other than Jack Johnson in the lineup. He should be doing something, anything, to send whatever message is capable of being sent to Phil Kessel. And
does Sullivan deserve criticism for playing DeSmith last night?
Yes, I said it yesterday. I would have played Murray because that's a team you're going up against that is now 80 points, second best in the West, tied for third best in the NHL. That's a very good hockey team. If you believe, like you and I have said we both do, that Matt Murray is, if nothing else, a big game goalie, that qualifies to me as a big game. The game tomorrow qualifies to me as a gimmick.
Yeah, but did you just see Mackey's story on it? Those guys are acting like they're playing in the quasi-Super Bowl on Saturday. At least some of them are.
That's the only championship game the quasi-Super Bowl they'll be playing in.
How much would I have to pay you to sit outside in the rain in a Philadelphia football stadium and watch that game tomorrow?
$1,000.
Really?
Yeah, $1,000.
Because how long do you think it would take you to get there on the
turnpike? 4.5 to 5, if that's, okay. And that's if there was no bad weather.
Then you're
going
to have to park.
Park in South Philly and have to remove any identifying markers that you're from Pittsburgh.
The weather's not going to be great in terms
of
precipitation. Yes.
Alex, even though she is the mother of a 3-month-old baby boy, if the boy is, you know, back here safe and sound, Alex might be the type who, if she has a few tall boys, yells something at a Philly fan that she doesn't like. Then I'm going to have to deal with that. She's wonderful and spirited, and I love her dearly, but she loves hockey and hates Philly. You'd have to pay me a grand for each ticket, which is somewhat reflected, I believe, in the secondary market for that game, where tickets are not exactly, make rent or buy tickets level prices. But to go back to Kessel, by the way, to get up on my soapbox one more time, you're saying when will people start like blaming Phil Kessel? You know this about Penguins fans. You've been here long enough. They're a very protective group of their own. Would you agree with that?
But they choose who to protect.
Well, I know, but like they chose very early on that Phil Kessel would be a favorite and not a whipping boy like a Vitali was.
I honestly think
they'll criticize him right before the apocalypse.
I seriously mean this. If you asked Penguins fans right now who is the better hockey player, Chris Letang or Phil Kessel, I still think a lot of Penguins fans would say Kessel.
I disagree.
Because Letang is polarizing with Penguins fans
still.
No,
not this year. I think this year
you think they've come around?
Yeah, I think they would.
How about Malkin or Kessel?
No, I think if it's Crosby, then it is still Malkin. Even the people that dislike Malkin for some of the things he does, they still know how good he is. And then I think Letang has moved into a clear third place. People love Phil Kessel the way, like, oh, don't pick on my buddy. He's really cool. He's a good guy. I like him. He's whatever.
But whatever.
Would you like to know what the poll results are?
Yeah.
I just put up a poll to test the Phil Kessel love. In Fantasyland, Penguins offered Ekman Larson straight up for Kessel. Would you make that trade? We both thought this would pace heavily towards the no.
Yeah.
64% say yes.
Wow.
People writing, I wouldn't even have to think about it. Imagine being so, lacking knowledge so much that you even have to consider before saying yes.
Craig, do you know who Oliver Ekman Larson is?
No.
Do you know what team he plays for?
No. He's not a baseball player.
How many
That's
teams
my
has Oliver Ekman Larson played for in his career?
Sorry, my speaker went out in here. What'd you say?
Oh, wow.
How many teams has Oliver Ekman Larson played for in his career?
Man.
I'm going to go with 4.
What position does he play?
Forward.
Okay.
You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorty Chrysler.
This is what it's all about.
With locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. Craig is
wrong on every
here.
Count. He has played for the Coyotes only. He is a defenseman. He is their captain.
Good for him.
Bob Grove next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.